AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
The late night anger management class. It's level 3 Sunday, Bloody Sunday. We're not done talking baseball. Jason B. Takafin will rejoin us. We're going to hit the diamond with Jason. Let's hit the hardwood off the top right now as the Los Angeles Lakers not only lose tonight's basketball game to the Toronto Raptors, as Siakam and Lowry absolutely go off. Siakam 39, Lowry 37, and the Raptors beat down the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers in a free fall right now. Lakers have lost 3 straight basketball games. And we were talking about, you know, the Lakers are more concerned about health right now than seeds. And it's pretty clear. But with that being stated, the Raptors win tonight have put the Lakers, like, right now in a lot of trouble. Like, they're basically one loss away from being in the play-in tournament. And we were discussing the odds earlier. The Los Angeles Lakers, guys, are favored to win a Western Conference. All right? So the Lakers are favored to win a Western Conference. The Lakers are the 6th seed right now. All right? The Lakers are like a couple of more losses away from being in the play-in tournament. And in fact, they're freaking tied right now with the Portland Trailblazers. But I guess due to, like, whatever, the tiebreakers, the Lakers are in the 6th spot. The Blazers are in the 7th spot right now. Yet they have the same record. So, like, the Lakers, can you imagine after all this? Like, that's what I was just saying before a couple of minutes ago in level 2. The math doesn't add up with the Lakers. Like, how the hell can they be favorites and they're going to be in the play-in tournament? Wow. I mean, right now, the standings, it's getting crazy. It's getting crazy. Can the Pelicans come on down the stretch? The Pelicans are on a 2-game win streak. The Pelicans right now, they're 2.5 back of the 10 spot. The San Antonio Spurs are hanging on right now. They're 2.5 up on the Pelicans. So this is the play-in. Portland 7, Memphis 8, Golden State 9, and San Antonio. You know, don't tell me that won't be a lot of fun, that play-in tournament. You imagine? Or imagine if Portland, like, gets the 6th spot and then suddenly it's the Lakers, the Grizzlies, the Warriors, and the Spurs to get into the playoffs. Things are getting wild in the NBA right now. Philadelphia's rolling, looking for that top seed. Wild game between Brooklyn and Milwaukee today. Milwaukee beats Brooklyn. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
Relax. You don't have to actually play these sports. Just know about them. Keep it here. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Sports Grid.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Don't think of us as a place to just hear sports talk. Think of us more as an all-you-can-listen buffet of live odds, lines, matchups, injury reports, and news you can use.
Bon appetit.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Continues. We just couldn't let Jason B. Takafin go. Still a couple of loose ends that we haven't gotten to. Listen, we could talk about every team. Love talking baseball with Jason B. Takafin. Where can people find your podcast if they want more this week?
We are at IBWAA Podcast. I am at Jason B. Takafin. Lots of good baseball chatter. We put up a podcast about once a week.
So, you know, just as we went into the break a couple of minutes ago, we were talking about the Dodgers and the National League West and the state of California scene right now. And, you know, I think it's a fair comparison, actually, San Francisco and Boston.
Yeah.
In fact, they still have won. They won the same amount of games, actually. But everybody completely wrote off the Boston Red Sox, and even more so the San Francisco Giants. People expected the San Francisco Giants and acted like this team was going to be a 60-win team this year.
Yeah. Everyone thought that with Crawford and Belt and Posey, they were going to kind of turn the team over. With Gossman, they're going to trade him at the deadline. Listen, Johnny Cueto's found the fountain of youth. He's got 3 starts, 1.8 ERA. Evan Longoria, 937 OPS. He leads the team with 12 RBIs. And first ballot Hall of Famer to be Buster Posey, 1110 OPS, 6 home runs. They're doing it up and down their lineup. Alex Wood, 3 starts, 1.50. Former Vancouver Canadian Aaron Sanchez, 1-1, 2.22 ERA and 5 starts. They're 1-26. They actually remind me this year of a little bit like the Brewers in the sense that everyone's pitching in. It's a full team effort. Michael Tauchman, who they just traded for the Yankees, hit a 3-run bomb today off Joe Musgrove against the Padres. Interesting that with the Giants and Red Sox, I guess the only difference for me is that the Giants should be rebuilding. Is they're doing this with almost the core that they've had in the last 5 or 6 years. Posey, Belt, Crawford, Cueto. You would think that this was going to be another transition year as they bring in new guys, but not the case. And you know what? I applaud it, and good for the Giants, and keep winning. And they've made a great, you know, some great acquisitions. Anthony DeSclafani, Alex Wood, like I mentioned, like keep on going, guys. Like keep on winning. This is absolutely great. And I would love to see a rivalry, especially as attendance increases. You want to see those Giants, Dodgers, and Padres just kill each other, right? Like you want to see that stuff.
I don't get the feeling. We talk about Boston. And it's a little, not smoke and mirrors, but you have to wonder if these guys can continue to play at the pace that they're playing at and put the numbers up that they are. But as you mentioned with San Francisco, these guys are just sort of grinders.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different. Like, I'm not really expecting San Francisco to disappear. You know what I mean? I think, you know, they're not going to be a first place team all year, but I don't think the wheels completely fall off for them either.
I don't think so either. Now, question that you may ask is, do they want to continue competing? If the wheels, let's say, do a little fall off in July, are they better off long term? Farhan Zaidi, you know, the general manager there, he may want to rebuild and be able to extract as much value as possible out of the Cuetos and Longorias. Posey, I think, is a
little
bit
off limits. That's the smartest thing to do.
Right, but if they keep on winning, why not?
Right? I know.
And it's
a passionate fan base there. If they're winning, they're going to say, what the hell are you doing? What are you trading the players for?
Second longest sellout streak in baseball after the Phillies, right? That includes the Indians. That includes the Blue Jays. It was a couple years ago when they were winning three World Series in 5 years. If you're winning, you don't necessarily have to go all in and trade your best prospects for rentals. Like, you don't have to go out and get Max Scherzer and trade like an arm and a leg. But you owe it to your guys because they've also been there. Think about what organizations have been through the last 2 years with COVID and now this year. You owe it to everyone to continue and at least to push through. And I'll tell you this, anyone that comes out of the NL West between those three teams, by the way, Diamondbacks, no slouch either, They'll have earned it, and that will be a very tried and true team. That'll be a team that's been played playoff series. Like we said, the Padres and Dodgers just felt like they just played the World Series in April. That is a team that is going to be very ready for battle in October.
I got to tell you, man, that baseball stadium in San Francisco beautiful. Might be the coolest stadium in the league.
Yeah.
Just like the setting, the way it looks, where it is, the water right there. It's just right there in downtown San Francisco, guys. Just absolutely beautiful, beautiful stadium. Epic. And inside, it's just, you know, you see all the props that they have and everything.
Such, you know what's great about it? Such you a know what's great about it? It's very San Francisco. It's right by the water.
It feels like San Francisco.
It's
you're
a
right.
home game. It feels like it's the concourse is very open. It's beautiful views anywhere you go. It gets pretty loud. I've been there for a playoff game against the Cubs. They know their baseball. Like, listen, this is a very traditional, this is a very passionate, and it's a very large fan base. It's, you know, I argue with friends about who's the nicer stadium. Is it Camden Yards? Is it Pac Bell or whatever it's called now? Or is it PNC in Pittsburgh? And I'll tell you, San Francisco, it would take a lot to knock them off the perch. I have them at number one. That's one of the nicest stadiums, one of the nicest sports venues I've seen, especially because, again, they make it about the Giants. You can tell you are in San Francisco Giants territory there. Around the perimeter of the stadium, you're able to buy bricks and write down someone's name or dedicate the bricks to someone. All the money goes to charity. It's great. So you can read everyone's memory. Know, whatever they write on the, it's beautiful. Like, it really, really is.
Yeah, they have cool plaques of like Willie Mays and all kinds of guys outside. Really cool stuff.
Look at all the great players that have come through there, right? And that's not even mentioning the Bumgartners or Posies or the players that, you know, are of the last dynasty, right? Like Bruce Bochy will have a plaque up there. Felipe Alou, Dusty Baker. There's all types of great, like Juan Marichal. There's amazing players that have come to that organization. They're just a little bit, they're in the Dodgers' shadow a little bit just because they're both West Coast and the Dodgers are the Dodgers. They have, like, you know, you're bigger than life, your Tommy Lasordas and your Kirk Gibson moment and that stuff. But the Giants are as good as it gets, man. Like I said, the second longest South streak in baseball history. Really, really impressive organization up and down.
All right, so listen, we've got a couple of more minutes. One thing, it's not as good as it gets. It's actually as bad as it gets. We all know about the batting average problem and making contact. I don't know where you stand. I'm assuming you're a scrap the pitcher's hitting and implement the DH type of guy. I've resisted. I like the old school, you know, like we have to manage. But it seems as though the pitchers have just given up on this right now. And they're hitting .111 right now. They're striking out 46.3% of the time.
Yeah. I don't want to see Chin Ming Wong get injured running if he's not used to running. 20, 25 years ago, I say keep pitchers hitting and give me your Dontrell Willis's, your Tom Glavine, your Zach Greinke's, your Kershaw's, guys who understand that, hey, I can do damage.
Bumgarner.
Kershaw's pinch hit twice the last week. Like, he can take care of his own mess. I think you got to move to the DH. It's unfortunate. You don't have to make that decision, but it's time. And I think it's better for everyone, not to mention you get a better bat in the lineup. I don't think it's going to, you know, the game has changed already where they don't play small ball, and that making that decision, quote unquote, isn't that big of a deal anymore because everybody double switches and nobody pitches over five innings anyways.
And it's something that the players actually want. The league wants it. The owners want it. The network wants it. And for whatever reason, of course, like everything, they can't agree that the sky is blue.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. Baseball thinks it's some bargaining chip that they're giving the Players Association something.
Yeah.
It's basically 15 jobs, bro. The Players Association's like, guys, you know, we want it, but it's not like we're giving you something to do this, right?
Commissioner Manfred is a labor lawyer by trade. They made him commissioner because they know that every single piece is negotiable. Whether that's good or not, that's the way it is. And I'm with you. Not everything has to be hostage negotiation. Listen, I would have loved to have seen someone like Lance Berkman, Adam Dunn, Paul Konerko be full-time DHs so they can go and hit 500, 550 home runs and not Albert Bell, not have to be able to deal with, you know, shoddy defense. And they can hit more, and that's just more exciting. And I'll tell you this, Gabe, when the DH is going to be full-time, which is coming, there's going to be an argument in 10, 15 years about the Adam Dunns of the world who had to go and play the field. But if there was a DH full-time, he's got 460-something home runs. If he was a DH, he probably could have hit 550.
Yeah,
right? And you're like, okay, do you retroactively make him a Hall of Famer? Because now the rules have changed, or at the very least, he would have been able to solely focus like a David Ortiz. Like, literally, I don't even think David Ortiz owned a glove, right? He didn't need to, right? And he's still a Hall of Famer. Edgar Martinez, like, they're still Hall of Famers, right? I think that you're going to have those conversations. And I think, it, you know what, there's also something to be said about, like, sometimes changing the rules a little bit, like, they're not, it's not bad, right? Like, it, the wild card worked out, interleague worked out. Like, it's not the end of the world to make these, like, vast changes that aren't that vast in the grand scheme of things.
Oh, and that's another thing, too. Things weren't always the way that we have them now. Like, it wasn't always 162-game schedule, right? All right, we've got to get out of here with Jason. It's always great stuff, man. Love talking baseball with you. Thanks for the time, bro.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Great, thanks, man. See you next week.
You can listen to Sports Grid on the radio, TV, or the internet.
Technology grand.
Keep it here on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's simple, really.
You have a choice.
Either listen to Sports Grid and get the winning edge,
or don't.
And get really good at explaining things to your increasingly impatient wife.
Happy wife, happy life, dude.
You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
The late night anger management class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Dave Lorenzi. Let's talk baseball with Jason B. Takafin and those a thing or two about the game. Multiple champion with the Vancouver Canadiens, farm system of the Toronto Blue Jays, and of course the Oakland Athletics in yesteryear. A lot of stuff to get to. Jason, always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
Another great week in baseball, eh?
Well, I'll tell you what, it was a better week for baseball fans in the Bronx this weekend, as Yankee fans were starting to panic a little bit. Pressure was starting to build on Aaron Boone, on Aaron Judge, on the players, on Brian Cashman, etc. But they've fought their way back to 500 right now. They sweep the Detroit Tigers. They're at 500. I think there's some positive sides moving forward, i.e. Corey Kluber and Jameson Taillon.
Yeah, I thought actually they were going to continue to slide when they only split the four-game series with the Orioles this past week. I thought that was a very easy way for them to be able to pick up 3 out of 4 wins, or maybe even 4 out of 4. Orioles are a little bit better than expected. Yankees sort of not finding their groove, but the Tigers was just what the doctor ordered. Tigers are just not in a very good place. They have the same, it seems that they have the same Nico Goodrum, Jacoby Jones. It's the same prospects they're trying to sort of turn over all the time. And I think they're just placeholders for some of their bigger guns. But it doesn't seem like they're doing anything right, the Tigers.
Well, if there are fans of any team that hate the Astros more than anybody else, it's the Yankee fans.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because the Dodgers actually lost in a World Series to the Houston Astros. But L.A. is a little bit more laid back than New York. And, you know, the Yankee fans, they were deprived last year of their opportunity to hate on the Houston Astros. And ironically enough, it's the Houston Astros that come to the Bronx this week. Starts on Tuesday. Houston at New York should be a very interesting series.
You know, I agree with you. 2019, I think the Yankees had a pretty good thing going. Of course, Jose Altuve hit the game-winning walk-off home run in Game 6 off of Chapman. And Chapman, if you remember, he kind of smirked a little bit when he gave up the home run. The New York tabloids kind of went nuts with it, thinking he doesn't love the game or he's unhappy. And then it kind of came out that, Altuve kind of knew what was coming. And then there was the video of Altuve saying, "Don't take off my shirt," even though he was like topless on an Instagram picture a couple of days before. Because Chapman knew that Altuve knew that the off-speed pitch was coming. I just wish there was a full house for some of these games, for a lot of these games. I just wish there was a full house. I wish that the Astros went to Yankee Stadium in a full house right now. It would be absolutely electric, especially with the Yankees coming off a sweep right now.
Yeah, but as we've talked about in the past, Jason, at least the Astro players will specifically be able to hear the insults that are being hurled their way. And I tell you what, it's a good thing that the Yankees are coming off a sweep right now. because people, Yankee fans, would be insulting their own players too. It wouldn't just be Houston.
I know. One of the funniest things I've ever seen as a sports fan was when I went to go see the Cleveland Browns at the Seahawks like about 7-8 years ago, and the Browns fans who made the trip were booing their own team during the introductions. So I'm like, okay, that would actually be the same thing would happen if the Yankees who Yankees started off 5-10, another 14-14. That could have gotten real ugly had they still been 5 or 6 games under.
So you look at the American League East, and of course, Jason is a Boston Red Sox fan, although you did take their under, right, in season wins, and they're sort of on pace right now to get there. Yet, you know, it's a long season, so there's two ways of looking at this. I saw something interesting. Teams that are in first place on May 1st win the division 53% of the time, which is actually somewhat surprising to me that the number was that high. But the way I sort of look at it with Boston right now is, man, it's been such a great start. Everything hasn't really gone well for anybody else in a division, and here you are only up by a game and a half.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think, you know, for the Red Sox, the bright side is that they're going to get Chris Sale back, and that's sort of the trade deadline acquisition. That's sort of the big nuclear weapon coming to join the rotation. But I think you hit the nail on the head. The Blue Jays just got Hernandez back. They just got Springer. They're tinkering with their rotation a little bit, or at the very least, they bought 10 lottery tickets and a few of them are working. The Rays haven't gotten going yet. The Yankees just seem now to get going. So I'm with you. I still, you know, it's hard to say you're confident in a team to go, you know, to take the under at 79.5 when they're 5 or 6 games over now, or they're 5 games over. I'm still kind of confident. I think it's, I think they're, and I say this as a team, it's hard for me to cheer against them. I see a lot of holes in the roster, and I see just they're going to play a lot. They're going to play more difficult games, and the competition is going to get a lot stiffer. Not to mention, those teams might go out and make deadline acquisitions. It's interesting when you say about first place in May 1st. I would like to know if, like, when does a team make the decision to go all in on a trade, or at the very least to be buyers, right? And I think that's a very important factor because traditionally, spring turns to summer. Kids get out of school, you're going to sell more tickets, there's more buzz, there's more positive media. That could turn into, let's keep selling. This year, it's not really the same as that, so we're going to see if it's going to be the same. To me, just see if that's going to sort of still follow suit, if teams are going to be as aggressive at the deadline, knowing that they can't, you know, sell as many tickets.
You know what I've always found interesting as well is there's different stages to this. Like, well, at what point do you buy in that a team is good? And you can't do it after 1 month.
No.
You know, you like to, and we've all been there. And I remember, you know how many times, you know, in the old days with Felipe Alou, the Expos were like 12-6, and I'd be at home adding it up. Man, that's 24-12, and that's this and that. And like, and it never works out. It doesn't work out that way. Because like you said, if the Red Sox had a month where they went 17-10, there's a 10-17 month coming, guys. Like, that's just one of those deals where, all right, they're not going to win every month. But listen, you were in the game, and you were in the minor, so you would know better. At what point does the big team start to buy in? And I really don't think until, like, August. You know what I mean? Because we've seen teams, you can be sort of good for the first 2 months, and then you're sort of good. And then, as you stated, pressure seems to kick in mid-July. Around the All-Star game, fans are there, it's real. Hey, we're in a pennant chase. And there's that separation, and then you have that other separation of teams in August that are sort of there, and then September knocks them out, right? But it's been an interesting start to the season so far.
It's interesting. You know, I would love to know how the expanded wild card makes front offices think also, because they may not be as out of it as they think they are. And they may also want to be a little bit more aggressive because they may be able to pick up a home playoff game, or at the very least, they can convince themselves that they can make the playoffs or win that one game playoff. But I'm with you. I would love to know the tipping point to when a team thinks that they're very good. The teams that I've been involved with, the tipping point is typically about 35 games where you kind of know, okay, there's been some injuries. We know this starter's off to a good start. You know, this starter we can depend on, or this guy is sort of cooled off.
You've seen these starter 5, 6, 7 times now, right?
And it's interesting. We can get to it with the Giants in a second, but you can kind of see, okay, well, what is sustainable? What isn't sustainable? And you can say, okay, well, the Red Sox, JD Martinez having a 1,200 OPS is not very sustainable. It was going to come down to earth, even if he hits a 950 OPS. That's still very good, but he's not going to be tearing the cover off the ball. And I think it's realistic that if we're having this conversation in a couple of weeks, they're around 500. And that's not even including who they're playing on their schedule yet. That doesn't even include, you know, they have Detroit coming up. That should be You know, at the very least, that should be a few, you know, to get them off the schneid. I know they just lost a series in Texas, but who knows?
Yeah, and then you got revenge. You got a spot against Baltimore, I believe, again. So the Red Sox do have an opportunity to rack up some wins. But I wanted to ask you, so the Blue Jays' bats are starting to come alive a little bit. And, you know, that's sort of the thing with the Blue Jays. They're going to hover around 500, maybe a game or two under, hover around 500. But with all those bats and the weather heats up, there's going to be a 3-4 week stretch, guys, where they're going to be putting 14 runs up a game, and the Blue Jays will make their move. I look at the Blue Jays like a horse on a track right now. They're fine. They're in the middle of the pack. Jockey feels good. Nobody's worried about anything right now. I'm not saying they're cocky and, ooh, watch out for the Jays, but I'm just stating, don't write this team off yet, guys. Like, they're sort of,
yeah,
they're not, you know, Springer's played a couple of games. Teoscar Hernandez had COVID. You know, we could go down the list of things that, you know, has happened to this team. So I think things could come together for them. We see the potential of Vlad Guerrero Jr. And you know what blew me away, Jason, is the fact that, so he hits 3 home runs. He has the 7 RBIs. It was amazing to me that, it was pointed out that his father had never had a 3 home run game before.
Yeah.
I can't believe that. You figure he would have had one, right?
You know, the thing with the Blue Jays also is their team defense hasn't been very good. So you're looking at a team that's going to get better defensively just as those young guys play a little bit more. And I'm with you. Like, I'm a buyer on the Blue Jays. I was a buyer from, you know, from day one. I think that they're they have the right mix. I like the way that the rotation is set up, which is a bunch of sort of lottery tickets. And it's hard to, they're 500 and they didn't have Teoscar Hernandez. They didn't have George Springer. Guerrero was hitting a little bit out of his shoes. Biggio, you know, will turn it around. I mean, I'm with you. I'm old school when it comes to the American League. I think you need to be able to have a lineup where a team can say, wow, these guys can put up 25 or 30 runs against us in a 3-game series, no problem. And they definitely have that offense. And the defense and the pitching is doing really well also.
Yeah, and we've seen one thing. It's a surprise to say this, but we've seen that Blue Jay ownership, i.e. Rogers Communications Group, has been willing to spend money with this group. They clearly see potential with this group, and I don't know at this rate, but the Blue Jays were always under the impression that they were going to get fans back and move back to Toronto in late August, right? You know, this, but, you know, like I said, that was then, this is now. So yeah. I don't know if they're still, if that's still on the table right now, but that was sort of the plan. And that would be a massive boost to this team down the stretch.
If they were allowed to play at home for the first time in 2 years and like sleep in their own bed, I can't see that happening, if at all, before, you know, August. And not to mention, I don't know if the American teams would want to risk anything, especially after having the way they've had to maintain protocol and sort of, you know, been on edge for the last 2 years. But if they can get that, I think you're right. Not even if there's fans in the stadium, but just to be able to go back home would be a major advantage to them. They've been living on the road for a year and a half.
I can't. So the Raptors. I can't help but think of the irony, right, as you stated.
That Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Hey, Canada was the one that, no, you can't play here because we don't want teams traveling. Now it's the other way around. Major League Baseball team's going to be like, we're not going to Canada. What are you, crazy?
Well, why would they?
Yeah, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Jason B. Takafin. We're breaking it down Sunday, Bloody Sunday. Bring it.
Remember the good old days before you found us, got the winning edge, and started winning?
Neither do we.
Thank God.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A true player. You look for every advantage you can get.
Congratulations.
You just found it.
The winning edge.
Sports gaming strategies and information you won't find anywhere else.
24 hours a day.
7 days a week.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Yeah, Mo, that team sure did suck last night. They just played sucked. Well, I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. Love talking baseball with Jason B. Takafin. We can go on all night with Jason, but we're up against it already here this evening. This show has just flown by. Check out his podcast. And I want to get into the UFC with Matthias a little bit. But before we do that, of course, the Kentucky Derby. The Kentucky Derby was on Saturday. And Medina Spirit was the winner. And we should, you know, it's one of these deals, basically, like right when the horses were being rolled out, and they said, and here's Bob Baffert's entry and Medina Spirit. And I'm thinking, you know what? Why the hell am I not on Medina Spirit? And I'm not going to lie. I didn't bet. I had a hard time. I was watching on like a computer and I had a hard time getting a stream going. So like I got my bets in like 20 minutes before post type thing. And I didn't go crazy this year with the Kentucky Derby at all. And in fact, I bet light. I only bet a couple of plays. And I really didn't have a good feel for this race. You know, like basically, like Known Agenda was one of my horses, but in my heart and in my gut and in my head and in my account, I really didn't think he was going to win. Like, you know, I bet the Florida Derby winner all the time, but this one, I didn't have that feeling yet. Like, really, look, we had a lot of experts on. We had a lot of different opinions on. And, you know, Medina Spirit kind of came out of nowhere here. Mandaloon was second and Hot Rod Charlie was third. And, man, there were some massive payouts, man. Massive payouts this weekend. So I don't know if anybody tuning in right now, congratulations if you hit the exacta, 8-7. The exacta paid $503.60. Imagine, $2. That's a big payday. The trifecta. All right, the dollar trifecta, 879. It paid $1,696.90. That's not bad, huh? Like, imagine, like, you had $100 on that. You just won 16 dimes. Some, like, serious, that was a serious, serious payout. Superfecta, 87914, $1. $9,456.40. That's the beautiful thing about horse racing, man. You could just throw a bunch of numbers on the board. Like, seriously, who would have thought? 879. Simple as that. 879. Some big money, man. Like $2 for 503. So basically, that's like a 250-1 parlay. That was a 215-1 parlay. We had a 1600-1 parlay. And I don't even know what the hell. You know, what was this? Like 9,000 to one? So, yeah, $1 paid 9,456. It's like some serious money was made by somebody with this result. So, Medina Spirit closed at 12 to one, paid 26.20 to place $12 to show 760. That's some nice money right there. When you're making $12 to place, that's solid. And you know that some people loaded up on the Baffert horse. Like Baffert, does he ever lose anymore? Like whatever happened to Dwayne Lucas? Remember Dwayne Lucas used to be a badass and in the mix, but it seems like Baffert has just taken over. Like basically, like betting against Baffert is just like, you know, you might as well just rip your ticket up. That's the lesson that we've learned here. Don't get in front of Baffert right now. The guy's scorching. He's scorching hot. His barn, his horses, whatever he touches just turns to gold and he wins. And I find it interesting too, because I owned a horse, clearly not at this level, but so I see that, you know, so Medina Spirit won $1,860,000. It sounds like a lot, but that's not that, you know, they probably lost money on this horse so far. Like, it sounds crazy to say, but you know how much money it would be put in to, like, to take care of a horse like this? But now the money comes in, right? Kentucky Derby winner put out the stud, And now this is where the money comes in. And it all depends on what Medina Spirit does in the next couple of races on the pursuit of the Triple Crown. But even just winning the Derby, you make a lot of money. But the actual race itself, that's a nice check, 1.86 mil. But, you know, after the trainer, the jockey, your fees, everything else in between, it's not like the ownership group just made a ton of money. But they will make a ton of money in the future. So speaking of making a ton of money, I did not make a ton of money with the UFC card, Matthias, but not because I lost. I just didn't bet that many fights. I was on Cutabella and Jacoby, and of course it was the draw. And I was on Jiří Prochazka in the main event. And I don't often buy in, bro, to these new dudes. You know, everyone gets super hyped and everything. And, you know, I often think, like, all right, if he was so good, how come he wasn't in a UFC before, right? Like, the UFC has basically signed everyone in the world that's ever hit a bag, right? So, but he's an interesting story. We talked about him last week, and that he's been killing people for years, and the UFC actually has offered him a contract before a couple of times. Like, they've tried to sign him, like, years ago. And he told them, I'll come to the UFC when I think I'm ready. Because I'm not ready for the UFC yet. And clearly the guy was pretty patient. And I was thinking, you know, just as the fight started, Matthias, I'm like, damn, man. Like, all the money came in on him. He was heavily hyped. And it was one of those things where I just felt confident about it, too. And I was like, man, I'm feeling pretty confident for a dude that's fighting a good fighter in Reyes that's only got, like, a fight in a UFC, and now he's the main event. But he freaking delivered, and, you know, Dana loves guys that finish, bro, right? That's, you know, that's what it's all about. They gave, like, you know, you ever notice, like, whenever there's a main event and it's kind of boring, Dana's like, well, I gave these guys a chance to put on a show. Meh. Right? Oftentimes, even if a guy won, Dana will criticize it after and say, well, yeah, he didn't finish him. Right? But Jiří freaking finished him in spectacular fashion. And Dana is sort of like a fan. He gets caught up in the moment. But he said that the winner of that fight was going to get a title shot. And it's funny because Jiří said that he wasn't quite ready for the UFC. But here he is now. Now they want to, like, push him into a title shot because of a, you know, a vicious spinning elbow, which I get. Yet if you're Jiří, take the money, bro. Right? Life in the UFC and life in general, and for anybody, man, things can change in a hurry. You get offered a title fight, you almost have to take it, bro.
No, I 100% agree with you. And I completely understand why Dana wants to give Jiří the title shot, because you look at Magomed Ankalaev and his previous performance, as well as Alexander Rakic, it was a snooze fest. And you could tell that Dana wasn't happy that these guys kind of put on
exactly
a fighting fight. And here comes this guy, Jiří, two knockouts in a row. He got to fight Volkan. He knocked out Volkan right away. And now he knocks out Dominic Reyes. And both of those guys who he knocked out fought for a light heavyweight championship belt of the world. They both lost, but at least they got to fight for the belt. So Jiří is for real, and I'm excited, man. I would love to see him fight Jan Blachowicz. I don't think he would beat Jan, but you know what? I like his style, and I like the way that he goes forward. He's a true ninja. That guy's a true ninja. That's yeah. The way I saw him this past Saturday. Ninja status.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. It's kind of sad because it's crazy. You're right. I thought the same thing. I'm like, damn, this guy's a badass. I was like, man, he's a lot of fun to watch, but he eats a lot of shots, bro. The defense isn't there, right? The defense isn't there. Yeah, and that's going to be a problem against Jan. Because Jan also, what the hell was Reyes doing? And I don't profess to be an MMA trainer, bro, but like Reyes, like, got so caught off guard by that. But why? Especially considering that he just missed with an elbow. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm amazed that Reyes didn't realize. It's like, damn. And I don't know. It looked like that was, like, an illegal elbow that he missed on, too. I think he got lucky, actually. But like, I was shocked, bro. Like, Reyes' hands were down. It was like he was surprised. But, guys, like, it's not like a lot of people try to pull that move off from that spot, right? That's what I was surprised that Reyes was so unprepared. His hands were down. His face was just, like, you know, hanging like a baseball on a tee at a T-ball game for a kid. And I was surprised that like his defense was so bad, and especially like I said, if you guys see like Jerry Prochazka, he swung for the fences with an elbow right before it. He just missed, and then he just turned around and he was like, "Man, this guy's face is just like right here." And then what a thud that Reyes went down with. I felt bad for Reyes. I'm like, poor guy. Like when he went down face first like that, I actually felt bad for the dude.
I was watching the fight with my girl, and when he fell face forward after he got knocked out, my girl thought that he might have died. He literally was worried about him, and she did not like watching that fight at the end. She was really worried about Dominic Reyes and the fall that he had. I even got a little worried. I was just like, oh no, I've already watched Million Dollar Baby. I don't need to see any more broken necks. You know what I mean? It was a little worrisome for a second, the way that he fell. It was scary. I'm glad he got back up, man, because he could have broke that neck.
Well, that was the thing.
The way that he fell.
Well, when he went down, I thought, I was like, nah, he's I was like, oh my God. But then when I saw him lying just sort of like unconscious face first, like, and his, like Matthias said, his neck, like his face landed awkwardly, like kind of. Like his head landed first. I don't know. It was awkward and ugly to see the way he landed. And then when he wasn't moving at first, I was thinking, I was like, man, like, because right away, it's just sort of like subconsciously, you're like, because we've all seen guys get smoked and they're all right a couple of minutes later, right? Let's say they don't feel very good for a couple of weeks, but they're all right. But I thought, I was like, damn, man, he just ate an elbow. That wasn't like a normal knockout. Like, that was like as bad of a knockout as you can get. Like, that was sort of like, that was like a Jan and Sterling type of thing, except worse. Like it could not have ended any worse for Reyes. But really, really fun fighter. And as we're saying, that's what Dana does, right? Like, Dana, if you want to climb the ladder, you either talk a hell of a lot of smack and you got to be a massive jackass, or you knock people out. Just start knocking people the F out all the time, smoking people, and Dana's going to take notice. Like I said, especially giving this guy the main event and he delivered like that. And it's funny because John Jones took to Twitter, except, of course, not to like call this guy out, to call Nagano out. And Nagano's not having any of it. Bones said, ran through the light heavyweight division on talent, about to run through the heavyweight division like dominoes off of pure hard work. Motivate me more, he tweets, at Francis Nagano. The greatest title in the world is coming back to the greatest country in the world. Jones, everyone hates Jones, so he's trying to get America behind him. If you think you're going to run through America, you are wrong. You know what's inside of me, at Francis Nagano. You've never seen me quit. Pray you knock me out, because if you don't, I'm going to break you. That's a promise, at Nagano. Nagano had the best comeback ever. He said, I shouldn't have to motivate you, Johnny. If it's not in you, you've already lost. I know my motivation. Nagano says, please don't make me laugh. Yeah. Says, please don't make me laugh, laughing emoji. When's the last time you break somebody out? You're a decision fighter, at John Bones Jones, and you barely won a fight lately, but you're going to break me? Laughing emoji. And again, who ain't playing? He ain't having that. Bring it.
Lost in a sea of stats, averages, and injury reports?
It's okay.
Breathe. You found it. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Everybody's got an opinion. Go ahead.
Ask them.
But only a few have an opinion informed by expert analysis and experience. It's called trust.
It's why we're here.
For you. Keep it here and get the edge. You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
We'll be right back.
3-minute warning. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci, the quickest 180 minutes in sports talk radio. Flew by this evening. We spoke with Babano, Jason Bitaka fan. Time just flew by. I was I've been bad clock management. I'm like a football coach. The show just flew by here this evening. So we're talking about Prohaska, but there's some good cards coming up, man. I'm looking, you know, the Bronx and Michael Chandler is going to be sick. You know, I said before, I don't really care about the Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier stuff. Yeah, whatever. I'm tired of Conor. I'm tired of his crap. But I am looking forward. I am looking forward to some of these cards that are coming up in the UFC. So that's May 15th. It's it's a badass card too. There's some great fights coming up on this card, and some great fights coming up as a whole. But you got Dariush, Tony Ferguson returns. So Tony Ferguson and Beniel Dariush. You got Charles Oliveira and Michael Chandler, of course. Leon Edwards and Nate Diaz. You want to talk about a stacked card, Matias. That card is wicked. That's the card that we're looking forward to. UFC 262, May 15th. That's a big fight for Dariush, man. You know, the dude's shown, like, flashes and talent and stuff. It'd be a big big feather in his cap to beat Tony Ferguson. And he is favored, minus 152 right now. All right, we're done. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Winning Edge benefit number 27. Not having to explain to your wife why you lost.
Sweet.
You're listening to the trusted source for gaming, odds, and more. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.